Get ready for this.
Wow, I am blown away by the response I've been getting on Facebook.
Welcome to a brand new episode of
the Upstate's Farmers Market Podcast.
The following program is for adult audiences only.
You are listening to...
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on the Farmers Market Podcast.
Relax and enjoy.
We are one of the few tea-growing farms in the United States.
Hi, this is Chris Thurman from Bioway Farm.
Hi, this is Kristen with Earth and Organic.
Hi, this is Mark Jones from Cedar Falls Farm.
Thanks for listening.
And now your host...
Great day, everybody. My name is Stefan, and you're listening to the Farmers Market Podcast, the show that talks to farmers, homesteaders, beekeepers, craft makers, and much, much more right here in the upstate of South Carolina. We keep it fresh, and we keep it local. Here, we talk about all things farmers market related. Be sure to subscribe to the show. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, and you can become a supporter of SCAFarms.com. It's the home base, my farm, which online, and the Farmers Market Podcast. Please share with all your friends on Facebook and other social channels, and let me know if there is a local farmer that you would like to hear on the show. Today's guest is an expert in organic farming, permaculture, and biodiversity. He was the 2016 Carolina Farm Stewardship Farmer of the Year, and his farm is the first private farm in South Carolina to be USDA certified organic. He was also picked as a U.S. delegate to the 2017 Slow Food International Congress in China. Welcome to the show, Bioway Farm's very own Chris Sermons.
Thank you, Stefan. I appreciate you having me.
And you're welcome. You're more than welcome to be on this show anytime you've got the time, and I know you're very limited, but you can find Chris and Bioway Farm at BiowayFarms.com and on Facebook and Instagram at Bioway Farms. Now tell me, Chris, what is Bioway Farm and what's happening on the farm right now?
Well, we are a small-scale market farm that grows vegetables and a little bit of fruit organically, and we try to do that on the farm with it being organized and designed in a permaculture manner. And in addition to that, we have 120 acres of forest that we like to manage and steward in addition to the farm here. So we sell at the TD Saturday Market. We do a small CSA, and then we market as well to restaurants in the Greenville area. That's it in a nutshell, but as far as what's going on with the farm right now, we're looking to start production in a 30 by 96 high tunnel that we just had installed last month, and carrying on with winter production, planning for next year, as well as just doing maintenance on the farm and shiitake logs, things like that, that they try to do in the winter, as well as trying to find some downtime and a little bit of time to rest and relax.
Now, what are your major crops going into the winter production? And then you mentioned the shiitake mushrooms. Now, most people, well, they probably don't know exactly the unique way that you guys are growing mushrooms. So maybe you can explain just a little bit about that.
Sure. Crops we have right now are your usual, fall greens and root crops, kale, collards, several types of collards. Yellow cabbage collards is one heirloom that we grow that a lot of people haven't heard of. Mustard greens, that's all cut and come again. Then we're also doing a couple beds of carrots, as well as beets, watermelon radish, daikon, kind of runs the gamut. Turnips, in addition to, for the first time, Brussels sprouts, just different fall crops, things that are hardy going into the winter that can be harvested through the winter if covered and if protected, and depending on the severity of the winter, And those are things we put in the ground back in early September and seeded in the greenhouse, you know, mid-July into August or so. And then the shiitake mushrooms are ones we grow on logs using sawdust spawn. So we're looking for preferably white oak or other types of oak, very dense hardwood, and we drill holes into them and inoculate them with sawdust that has shiitake spores and spawn in it that then inoculates the log, and then sometime next year we'll be able to start harvesting them. We're harvesting ones we did earlier this year back in late winter. So it's just some that we try to keep an ongoing production of and do some every year to replace what we lose to rot and decomposition.
And you have 140 acres. Now, most operations, I would think, if they're doing mushrooms, they don't have that big of an area to be able to do that. I think I visited one of the, is it City Roots down in Columbia, and they have a mushroom operation. It's basically in a manufacturing plant. It's a pretty neat setup, but yours is obviously different.
Yeah, we try to grow outdoors, so we're not using any special, you know, heated structure. We're not forcing them by, you know, misting with water or trying to dunk them to spur a fruiting. We're just letting nature kind of dictate when and you know, for how long the logs produce. So they tend to last longer when you're doing it that way and not forcing them to fruit. We've got them in a pine forest that provides year-round shade, you know, not just in the summertime. And we stack them after the spawning run and after the mushrooms inoculate the log and or colonize the log, I should say. And then again, you know, just letting the production come naturally. So after this big rain we had last week, it's a good time to go and check, and we've got them in a place that we can keep an eye on them, that we're going by frequently, so it's not kind of out of sight, out of mind. But we have some logs that last up to 5 years, actually.
Wow.
I picked some mushrooms last week from trees that are 5 years, or logs that are 5 years old. And we're trying to source from the 140 acres, you know, trees that are stifled or don't really have a future, that are being overgrown, and so we're trying to use ones that really don't have a future.
Now, you guys are based out of where?
We're in Ware Shoals. We're Lawrence County, very extreme western Lawrence County, and the Ware Shoals area.
Okay, I'm on the northern side of Lawrence County, so I'm just a hop, skip, and a jump from 101 and Fairview Road and that whole area up there. So I know exactly where you guys are located. Now, tell me this: you were the Farmer of the Year in 2016, and then in 2017 you got selected as a delegate to go to this conference expo or conference in China. Has farming always been in your blood? What was your background prior? I mean, did you go to school to become a farmer, or what happened in terms of your life that prepared you for this?
No, not necessarily as far as school goes. I'm just a nature lover, somebody grew up hunting and fishing and enjoying the outdoors, and that just evolved into later into farming. I have an environmental background, activist background, and it just seemed like the easiest way to make a difference in the world. I say easy, or a better way to make a difference in the world.
I would say anybody that thinks farming is easy is, we're not trying to mislead you at all.
Right. More of a direct effect on you know, our environment and on our well-being and our quality of life. So farming just seemed like an extension of that. We had the land. We were growing food plots for deer on a lot of our arable acreage, which I thought was a waste of time. I feel like it's important to feed people and not deer, especially when there's people going hungry here in the upstate.
Right.
And just seemed like a colossal resource waste to be trying to help deer, you know, find food when if you have quality habitat, they can take care of themselves as they have for eons of time. So we transitioned a lot of these fields into growing food organically. We were growing a lot of these food plots with the same crops that I grow for cover crops, where I'm trying to feed the soil and maintain organic matter and fix nitrogen in the soil. A lot of the same crops, grains, legumes. So it was a natural, segue into farming, and it had helped improve the soil because a lot of that was just going back into the ground. And so I guess I was cover cropping in one way or another for a lot longer than I've been farming. And so when, you know, you started hearing more about cover cropping, we were I guess, ahead of the game in that regard.
Now, are you local? Have you always been in South Carolina?
I'm from Greenville. That's where I grew up.
Okay, so you're a hometown kid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a native to the upstate. We've owned the farm since 1987, and I moved down here in 99, so almost 20 years ago.
That's not a very far leap to go from Greenville down to Wershoals. That's not
no.
it's like a bus ride, not even a bus ride.
Well, yeah, we're 30 miles from Greenville, so, you know, definitely within striking distance, and it's not too bad a commute.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to dig a little deeper into Chris's personal life, and I just want to see if you can tell maybe some of our listeners, like, one or two things that you've learned, I guess, about life that you would like to share. Maybe it was a lesson or a challenge that you had with the farm and the business, a hardship. Maybe it was something that life just threw at you and you said, you know what, this is a great takeaway. What are one or two things that you could relay to our listeners?
Goodness, on the spot here.
That's how we roll. We keep it fresh. That's what we do.
Let's see. Well, I've discovered that waste not want not is a good approach to life. And
the dog agrees.
Yeah, apparently. That, you know, once you grow food, you typically don't want to waste food because you know what went into the production of it. So I definitely shy on wasting things or frown on wasting things. Other than that, basically that farming is a challenge, and it's definitely the greatest challenge I've ever had. And it's... there's no 2 days that are the same, so it keeps it fresh. And I don't know. Besides that, that's about all I've got.
No, that's the philosophy I live by, and it's very similar to what you have. Is I grew up in the military, so my dad was very good about you need to eat everything on your plate. My parents were always, you know, you need to do this chore, you need to do that chore. So I think in some way I'm a new farmer, but it prepared me. But I realize now that everything has to have a meaning and has to kind of coexist. Otherwise, it's waste. And it that goes with food, that goes with activity, that goes with work. Everything you do should kind of be a part of the cycle. Now, you include fun in that, but I realize that now that I'm actually farming, if you're not doing something that's productive, it's waste.
True. I would agree, especially with the, everything has a place and a role to play, it kind of comes down to the biodiversity aspect of things that just like people, we have a greater resiliency and strength in diversity. So it's definitely a founding guiding principle of the farm.
I agree with you. Now, when the spring comes up, we're probably going to get you back on the show. So we'll be looking to see how those mushrooms are turning out come the spring. I want to thank you, Chris. Thank you for sharing Byway Farms with us today.
Yes, my pleasure. I look forward to talking with you more and getting together in the future.
That sounds like a plan. Be sure to check these guys out online and share this episode with everybody you know. Your support as a listener is key, and most importantly, support your local farms and farmers. Until the next time, my name is Stefan, and you've been listening to the Farmers Market Podcast. Keep it fresh, keep it local.
If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. And while you're there, please leave us a rating and review.